This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're giving you 12 chances a day to win $1,000 in the 12K a day cash flash contest. Your next opportunity coming up at 102. Make sure you're listening to the top of the hour flash. Message and data rates may apply. Ryan Zimmerman is on Grant and Danny today at 1:30. The Nats are hoping to play a game plus. They got to finish up last night's game that got postponed in the sixth inning and then play 7:05 first pitch against the Yankees. Weather doesn't look great, though. If the games take place, they'll be heard right here on The Fan. We'll ask Zim about the quirky schedule and dealing with rain delays when he stops by in about an hour and 25 minutes. Let's kick off our Beltway Blitz. Speaking of the Nats, Craig Heist covers the Nats for us here on The Fan. Heisty, how do you think Dave Martinez will handle the finishing of the first game today in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings with his bullpen? Do you just go to relievers, or do you throw someone out there for multiple innings? What's going to happen?
Well, Wander Suaro got the ball in the sixth inning last night, so I'm assuming he's going to stick with the bullpen, Grant, and see where it takes him. It is a 3-3 tie, and, you know, Gio last night, they made him work so hard to get through five with 111 pitches, and really didn't get a lot of help in the outfield as they had the collision in left field, which eventually helped lead to two runs off the homer. But I'm probably thinking he's going to go bullpen the rest of the way.
Hi, Steve. The forecast looks dire.
Yes.
For tonight, for tomorrow night, for the entire weekend, basically. What's going to happen here if some of these games get backlogged?
Well, tomorrow night they don't have to worry about it. Tonight is the big deal because they at least want to get the suspended game in and get it taken care of, because there probably is a mutual day somewhere down the line. I haven't necessarily looked at it just yet, to where the Yankees and the Nats could get together again. We'll have to wait and see. But, you know, backlog games are tough because it means that you have to make them up later in the year, and a lot of times that means that the visiting team is coming from somewhere else where they have to travel in for one day and then go back out. So that's never easy.
Craig Heist covers the Nats for us here on The Fan. Check him out on Twitter. He keeps you updated of everything going on during the games at C Heist Sports. Scherzer's supposed to pitch tonight in the second of the two games.
Right, against Sabathia.
Yeah, and I asked Jamal Collier if they might be a little bit less likely to throw him, and I thought that the content on that was interesting. But let's talk bigger picture about the rotation. Best numbers of any team in the National League by far. Only the Astros have a better rotation in baseball. They've done it despite having to rid themselves of a struggling fifth starter. Jeremy Hellickson's been great since. Is this sustainable, that they can continue to dominate this way in the rotation? Because you'd imagine Stras will be better as the year goes along.
Well, I think that's certainly true. And I think when you're talking about the top four guys in that rotation, I don't see any reason why they can't sustain it, because they've been a model of consistency for a long, long time. But when you have that horse at the top, like we see with Max Scherzer, I mean, every time you go to the ballpark, guys, there's a chance that you could see something very special when Scherzer takes the ball. And, you know, as long as he's leading the way and the rest of the guys are proven to do what they've done over the course of time, I still like the Nationals' chances to get to the postseason and make a run at this thing, and then we'll see where it goes from there. But there's no reason why this starting staff, barring some kind of injury, can't continue to do what it's doing.
Hi, Steve. Bryce Harper, an interesting couple of months here. In the first, really, March and April, so, you know, the first 29 games, walked 38 times, which is a huge total, on-base percentage around 460, even though the batting average wasn't that high. Since then, he's walked 3 times, and the batting average hasn't come up, and he's getting on base now at a 250 clip here in the month of May. What are you seeing from Bryce? Is he still trying to do too much, expanding the zone, or is it just kind of a weird funk?
Well, he gets into that kind of thing, Danny, where he does try to expand the zone, and I think he was, when he was walking all those times, he was getting really frustrated. And then Davey put him in the leadoff spot, and it seemed to give him some more pitches to hit. He went on a little bit of a homer barrage there. But certainly, I think this is something he's going to have to figure out going forward. And I don't know whether it's just a situation of being more patient at the plate or what have you, but if he does that, I think you'll see the walks go up a little bit than what you just indicated. But still, he's the one guy in that lineup, Danny, that everybody says, if you're on the other side, this is the guy that's not going to beat you, even though there are other guys in that lineup that can beat you. But a lot of people just stay away from Bryce Harper.
Let me get an Adam Eaton injury update, as well as a Ryan Zimmerman timeline who joins us at 1:30 today. And anything else you got on injured players?
Well, first of all, we can tell you Daniel Murphy was running in Arizona. He's been shipped down to Florida again to play in some minor league games, so that's a good sign. And I don't see it being too much longer before he's up here. The Adam Eaton thing looks to still be about a six-week deal before he's ready to go. He wanted to get everybody together yesterday and explain exactly what happened, and it turned out to be kind of like a dime-sized flap of cartilage in his ankle that was causing a lot of the issues that he was having trouble running. And he said he could run if the flap was closed, but once that flap got jarred or got open, he says that's when he felt severe pain. And they couldn't figure it out, but more than anything else, he wanted to get everybody together to tell everybody that they are all on the same page on this. The Nats doctors, the people who are going through the rehab with him, as well as the surgeon in Milwaukee, or actually Green Bay, I guess it is, that performed the surgery, that they now know exactly what it was, and he feels so optimistic. He's chomping at the bit to get going, and that's certainly Adam Eaton. But he's thinking and looking more of a six-week process to get himself back.
Right, guys, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it.
All right. See you.
All right, man. Talk soon. Redskins, please, Tommy. Michael Phillips is Royal Lordship's editor-in-charge, if you please, Richmond Times-Dispatch, covering the Redskins as well. Miguel, rookie minicamp come and gone. Who made the biggest impression on maybe the Redskins faithful here, in your opinion?
Yeah, well, I think people are really excited to see Daron Payne. He, you know, he's built like a football player. He walks in, and you know, a lot of times these rookies, you know, it's a different level of conditioning at the NFL. So a guy will walk in and go, oh, you know, he's a football player, obviously, but, you know, he's not an NFL football player yet. That's not Daron Payne. He walks in and he is right at home alongside the big boys, and even Ryan Kerrigan commented on that, like, you know, whoa, this guy could play tomorrow if he needed to. So I think that was very impressive. Obviously, Darius Geis, people were excited about that. And Marcus Stroman, I think watching him return some punts a little bit, that maybe gave hope that there are answers at that position sooner rather than later.
Lots of talk the last couple days about D'Angelo Hall likely retiring. Safety position, without him, it doesn't change a whole lot, but how do you feel about the addition of Apke behind Swearinger and Nicholson, the depth that they've got there?
Yeah, I think if anything, your biggest change is in leadership. He was kind of the voice of the locker room those last few years, and you know, that baton gets passed now to Josh Norman and DJ Swearinger, and I think they're fully capable of handling that workload and, you know, kind of being the face of the unit and, you know, representing it to the younger guys, you know, inside the building, outside the building, all those things. You're absolutely right. You know, D-Hall wouldn't have been a starter on this team, and I don't know if he's going to be a backup on this team, but Apke's a guy who's got some buzz around him, and he's going to be fun to watch in training camp, that's for sure.
What are they going to do about left guard? It seems like they just considered it. They were fine with internal options. Someone would step up, and I know they've gone and, you know, re-signed Sean Laval because nobody was really beating down his door. Is it just a position they don't care about, Miguel?
Well, you know, it's tough to find a left guard in the NFL right now. You look at who was available in free agency this year and what they cost, and I don't think you could say in good faith like there was a good option for them and they missed out on it. I just looking at, you know, what they could have done and the moves that were available, I don't see any of them as, boy, they were really dumb not to do this or that. It's a position where you find a guy, you draft him, you develop him, and then you sign him to a long-term deal. That's what they're going to do with Brandon Sheriff. That's what they did with Morgan Moses at tackle. That is how offensive line works in the NFL. And so when you miss in the draft, as they, you know, missed with Quanjo, I think, and, you know, missed on some other guys, that leaves you in a big hole. And I think Ty Ensekhe's probably your guy on opening day. maybe Lavau takes a run at the job. But you're right. It's a position of need and one that's probably going to go unfilled.
Michael, I miss your touch. We'll have to see you soon, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah.
I got him. It's a little bit awkward out there. Miguel Felipe. Yeah.
It was like two fencers going back and forth, right. And he did not expect that lunch.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. Yeah. He's
Oakwood,
like laughing.
Oakwood Point to Grant Paulson. Oakwood Point to Grant Paulson. 1-0.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Ryan Zimmerman at 1:30. Why did the Caps lose? What went wrong last night? Next. Grant and Dave, how are you on the day after the Capitals had a chance to go up 3-0, but the Lightning played really well and beat them handily, Dave?
Hello, Grant and Dave, how are you on Verizon's Capital? What's the stadium called? They wanted to go ape poopy, but couldn't because Tampa Bay scored a Marvin Goldline.
Hello, Grant and Dave, how are you the day after D'Angelo Hall came on your show and told a lot of hilarious stories? Some of them were about me, Dave.
Hello, Grant and Dave, how are you the day after the New York media got in Bryce Harper's kitchen and he swatted him away like he was trying to kill flies at a ranch? Dave.
And Grant was excited about it because he got to make a Sam D'Alembert reference, Dave.
Dave.
Give me another. Let's go back and forth with random shot blockers.
Random shot blockers.
The last 10 years, who did nothing else well.
Ooh, okay.
That's the category.
All right. Stromile Swift.
He was a dunker.
I mean, he dunked at times, but he was. If you picked him up for your fantasy team, it was for the 1.6 blocks per game.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought of him as like a swing forward.
He dunked. He's a power forward that blocks shots.
You know
shots.
More basketball than I do.
This is hard.
I'm going to go John Henson, my guy from the Bucks right now, who I met under the basket that time when I went to a Wizards game. I told you that story.
You did meet John Henson. He's so tall and skinny.
He's very
awkward.
Nice to me.
I'm going to go Thon Maker, his teammate. Doesn't do anything except block the occasional shot.
Are we just going random obscure Bucks right now? I'm going to go Etan Thomas, who likes to be a poet.
He loves being a poet. All right. Okay. I got to go. I can't be. It's got to be recent. It can't be old school.
Yeah, it's like Marcus Camby is a guy.
Dude,
that
he was
I
too
say.
Good. He was too good of a player.
He was?
For that.
Okay.
I'm gonna someone like Mark Eaton is who you're saying. Like just an old oafish dude
reference.
That couldn't play. Like a Tree Rollins. Manute Bol.
I'd like to keep doing this, but I just realized I don't know if it's interesting for anyone.
I'm having a great time.
It is pretty good. As we welcome you back on Grant and Danny, quick reminder that Ryan Zimmerman's on at 1:30. We're going to have Chris Russell, our Caps insider, on at the top of the hour at 1 o'clock, 40 minutes away as well. What went wrong for the Capitals last night? Why did they lose? We want to hear from you guys. Give us one reason, the main reason. There are a bunch of them, by the way, to choose from, 7 or 8 of them. By the way, are there a bunch of Major League Baseball games going on right now, randomly? Like, I just got a tweet saying Adam Jones homered. Are the Orioles playing early because of the impending weather and the fact that they got rained out
last
night?
Or rained out, something like that, maybe.
I also got a text today, which is weird that I'm getting, like, updates on Juan Soto now when he's 19 years old. Juan Soto went 3-for-5 in, like, a morning game today. For the Harrisburg Senators.
They played in the morning?
I think with this rain situation, a bunch of teams are trying to beat the weather.
All right, two games are happening right now. Ballmer to your horn at 1-0 near Philadelphia to your horn.
That's an Adam Jones homer.
You know, Jonesy homered right there to get us on the board. And then the White Sox and the Pirates in a couple moments.
Hey, by the way, did you notice the Atlanta Braves lost a game last night? Huh?
They did?
It's possible.
Hey.
All things are possible.
Okay.
The Atlanta Braves did lose a baseball match.
That was right before a rerun of Saved by the Bell.
Let's go
Sorry.
To why the Caps lost. We'll get to your calls at 800-636-1067. I'll start.
Go ahead.
Stay out of the penalty box, man.
That'll do it.
Lars Eller, you've been outstanding in this playoff.
You want to quit that, bud?
You've been so good. Now? I have nothing but nice things to say about you. And then yesterday happened. Why? Why are you doing what you're doing? He was in the box 3 times for 2 minutes apiece.
Yeah.
Now, the third time I was okay with it because he brought Steven Stamkos off with matching minors. And any time about to go 4-on-4, you're bringing Steven Stammer off the ice. Cool. Do it. Take him away. But Lars, Michael Kempney with just weird high penalties. Stop it.
Stop it.
At once. This is the most simple I can boil this series down. At 5-on-5, you're going to outplay Tampa Bay more often than you don't. When they are on the penalty power play and you're on the kill, they are going to dominate.
They're going to kill you.
So pick your poison and make your choice here. But for me, the number one reason they lost, early on, they took the two huge penalties. They led to two quick goals.
I was in the suite with a couple guys that were admittedly not hockey fans, that didn't know much about the sport. And they were asking me about Lars Eller. And I kept saying, he's been terrific these playoffs in this series. And they said, well, how come he's in the penalty box again? And I didn't have good answers.
Why is
for that.
He doing that?
Why would he have done that? I could be general with this, but I'll be very specific. Victor Hedman's incredible. That guy is awesome at hockey. He is terrific. He's a brick wall. There was a moment, I think, where somebody had some nice momentum, had a little speed. I want to say it was Tom Wilson. It was tough to see. But they...
Was it top line Tommy, or was it playoff Tommy, or was it Dreamboat Tommy?
I want to say, well, in this case, it was Dreamboat Tommy, because okay. It was like, I mean, it was like, you know, tossing a raisin at a skyscraper. I mean, he got a full head of steam, tried to run Victor Hedman, tried to knock him off the puck, and it literally looked like he just shrugged because he thought there might be a fleck of dust on his left shoulder, and he just sort of looked down and said, that's adorable, and he went on about his business and made the play. That guy assisted on the first two goals, scored a goal himself, controlled play, I thought. He was everywhere that the Caps wanted to be. He is awesome. He had a great game, and I think that matters a lot.
He's an all-star. Do you realize that all four of their goals were scored by four all-stars this year? I mean, again, I keep saying this. People do not give this team enough credit. They're so good.
Yeah, they're good.
You mentioned Hedman. Stamkos, who's better, scored. Kucherov, who's better, scored. Braden Point is a dude. That guy is going to be a star in this league. They're all-stars that scored goals last night. Kevin Culpepper, how are you?
Hey, Kevin.
Doing good. Yeah, the lax Caps showed up last night. They just very lackadaisical on defense. If you look at the first two games, you know, Tampa, when they were in our zone, they didn't stay there very long, and their passes were getting hit, intercepted. We were checking them real hard in the boards. Last night, none of that happened. I didn't think Tampa really looked that much better, maybe a little bit better. We just didn't have the same gusto on defense as we did the first two games.
Defensively, they got a couple things they got to clean up and tweak. Braden Holtby was bad. Bad's probably strong. He struggled, and he was the worst that he's been in a couple of rounds. Probably his worst game of the playoffs. Certainly the most goals he's allowed, which isn't always the exact same. But I thought Holtby on a 1 to 10 scale, who's been somewhere in the 8 to 9 range, was like a 5 last night. Vasilevsky has been that in the first couple games of the series. He ended up playing much better yesterday. But a big reason for some of Holtby's struggles, I agree, was that defensively they weren't as good. They had that failed clear by Brooks Orpik on a power play goal right before the goal was scored. Matter of fact, the reason that that even became a thing and they got a draw in that zone for that power play was that Jay Beagle struggled to get a puck out and failed on a clear that led to the Holtby tripping penalty on a power play goal as well. Orpik also, I thought, took a bad angle on a blocked shot attempt on the Kucherov power play goal, the second of the game. So you could make the case that he was responsible in some way, indirectly or directly, for the first couple of goals, even though I think he's had a good series. So, yeah, clean up your defense. Holtby's got to be better. I like that phone call.
I also think we've already kind of been dancing around this, but there's no other way to say it. Tampa's really good, and they're bound to play really well. That's going to happen. When really good teams have their backs against the wall and are desperate with a smart hockey coach, A couple adjustments were made, I'm certain. But B, that's a desperate team that had to win to sustain their season. The desperate animal is the dangerous animal. That's a terrific team that played really well last night. So as much as I kept saying after the first two games, this is not a what the hell's the matter with Tampa story that people are probably doing. Nothing. The Caps were excellent, and sometimes the other team's excellent, too, when they've got stars that are paid to play just like you do. So at a certain point, I think this was bound to happen. Now, I was hoping it wouldn't be the kind of the whitewash where the Caps didn't really have a shot for more than a few minutes at a time. I was hoping it'd be a more competitive game, and, hey, sometimes Tampa is going to get a break, too, and they win one. But this was bound to happen. Tampa's excellent.
They were going to play better than the Capitals at some point, decidedly, and it was going to result in a win very likely. Caps have bounced back all playoffs long. They got to try to do that again. Grant and Danny taking your calls on why they lost. What do you expect in game four? Was this the beginning of a very different series? We saw Tampa Bay win four in a row after a bad start against Boston. Or are they going to have another little renaissance like they did against Pittsburgh and motivate themselves to be great again? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The bullpen.
The area.
That is what I learned. Yep. 25 seconds is what it takes me. It's not terrible. I think I could probably do it in 20 if I really wanted to earn it.
If you were really pushing it. Yeah, like if you cornered it hard. You could do it in 20. I think we could time you. I think your record could be, you could do a sub 21.
You know what this weekend is?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's so exciting. I believe it's race number 2 in the Triple Crown sweepstakes, isn't it? Isn't the Preakness this weekend, Danny? Doesn't that mean you get to get really upset about everyone having fun and drinking mint juleps and getting dressed up and just enjoying a few hours of banter on a Saturday afternoon?
No, having fun is fun. Pretending to know stuff is not. Pretending to be experts is the thing of this time
but
of year that I can't stand.
But you even hate the idea of everyone going and dressing up and drinking and hanging out in the infield.
No, it's perfectly.
You're fine with that?
Perfectly okay
no,
to
I
do that.
I thought you despised that.
No, go get hammered, but just don't expect me to pay attention.
I got a ticket for you to come with me to the Preakness.
I'm not going. It's not because it's not fun. It's just sweaty Baltimore, and it's just going to be so hot. It's going to be so hot and humid. I hope it rains on all of them, by the way. The events themselves are not interesting, and if people like them, that's fine, but it's the insistence. What I can't stand is when sports media or people that think their tastes are so refined yell at you. You're like, oh my God, the NHL playoffs are so great, everyone has to watch them. No, I don't. America's already chosen. We've showed you what we do and don't care about. Oh my God, the Preakness, what theater? Nope, several rich guys with ponies, and it's the same 3 or 4 jockeys and trainers that win every time.
It is the same jockeys every year on different horses.
Yeah, there's nothing relatable about this. It's super rich people. It's very small men riding on horses. There's nothing about it that's in my skill set that has anything to do with me. There's technique to it. There's really smart people that feed horses oats on one day and carrots on a Friday, and that's awesome. Good for you. It's just not for me. It's the pretending that it's interesting because of the pageantry of it that I can't stand.
All right, let's play a fun little game here.
Okay.
Let's pretend that you and I both had nothing to do on Saturday. There was no Caps playoff game.
All right.
You have a free day. I hit you up and I say, hey, I got this ticket to the Preakness. I want you to come with me. Let's play how many dollar bills do I have to put into your pocket to go? I'll start at $100 to come with me for the day.
That's not close. That's not close to it. No disrespect.
$500.
You're starting to get near to what I would.
$500. We got. We're leaving at. I don't know what time. I guess.
What are my alternatives? Are my alternatives to relax? Like, do I get to relax?
Alternative is whatever you want to do.
Yeah,
now your kid and your wife and your other kid are all home, so it's like a normal Saturday day.
Right.
So, let's say your average Saturday is the alternative, whatever that is, whatever
so
that looks.
Getting
like.
Me out of the average Saturday is
there's
the
value.
The,
in
yeah, the price isn't as high.
$500. This Saturday, we're going to the Preakness. I'm giving you 500.
I think if it was 600 and I don't have to drive.
Okay.
And I don't have to, I have to talk to people, don't I? Probably have to interact with other humans.
Yeah, I mean, we're in Baltimore, so no one's going to know us or come up and try to talk to us about the show or anything.
Do we have to listen when we get past the dividing line to aggressive Orioles talk?
Oh, 100%.
On 105.7?
Mm. Yeah, we're turning on 105.7. The Fan, there's going to be a lot of ooze talk.
Yeah, so you got to call in, otherwise we're not going to have a show. If you want to talk Andrew Cashner, what's he doing? And what about Machado?
This bullpen needs to be rectified quickly after they trade a couple of their elite-level relievers in the back end.
Do you think, legitimately, and be honest here, that we got a shot at Kershaw? This offseason, give us a call. I don't know, man. Yeah, see, that's maybe the price just went up a little bit. Am I paying for food?
That's real interesting.
That's real interesting.
Yeah, you're paying for food.
All right, then let's do $700, and I can deal with those annoyances. $700 with a ride, I would go to the dumb horse race.
But you have to drive to meet me at a commuter lot in Maryland somewhere.
Oh, that price just went up.
I'm not picking you up at your house.
That price just went up. I thought that
you
was
included.
You think
I'm coming to Wisconsin Avenue in D.C.?
Yeah.
No chance.
That's what I thought. Okay, so we're going to change the price again. We're looking at
So I need to have.
I got to go to a kissing ride in Maryland.
Yeah.
Oh, I would rather get kicked in the shins.
So I'm picking you up at your house.
Yeah.
Paying for your food and drink.
No, you said I'm paying for that.
I thought you worked that in as part of the more money. So you're saying then you will pay for your food and drink.
Yeah, I'll pay for food and drink.
Okay. $750?
We could do $750. We could do $750.
And no Uber, then you're driving to the Kiss and Ride.
No, if I got to park at a Kiss and Ride in Maryland to go to the Preakness, which is dumb and no one should care about it, then we're going north of $1,000. The Kiss and Ride charge is about $250.
That's so ridiculous.
So is this entire premise here. So is the idea that someone would go to this event. Do you realize leaving the comfort of my homestead in D.C. and going to Maryland to park at like a commuter parking lot to like wait for you to pick me up to go to a dumb thing? That's the worst
idea.
I
just got a great idea, actually, while we're talking about things you wouldn't want to go to. But right. This is actually a great idea, and I'm not even doing a bit. You should bring Bill Rowland, voice of the George Mason University Patriots,
right,
to the Valor game on Saturday. Do you guys have plans?
We do.
Do you?
We do.
You always have plans.
Oh, no, we do.
No, I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm just telling you love having plans.
Well, it's just what you do when you have the offspring.
When's the last time you didn't have plans on a weekend?
Before my kid was born.
Your life, I almost said something really mean.
It's true, though.
I was about to say, your life is why I don't want to have kids. You always have something to do.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Every single weekend, and it's never anything fun, by the way.
That's what having kids is.
I would say 90% of the time, you're doing something that A, I would have no interest in doing.
Right.
And B, most of the time, you don't have any interest in doing.
Yeah, I'm going to say it again. That's what having kids is. That's what it is.
So what is this weekend?
I got my niece's birthday, and I've got an event with my little guy's camp. We're actually going to the Nats game.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, that one's not. But it sounds good on paper, but trying to deal with basically putting an electric fence around a four-year-old as he's out in public, he's a borderline domestic terrorist. I mean, he's impossible to deal with.
How many times has Bill gone to a Nats game now?
This will be his third. Be his third.
Has he sat through 9 innings?
Not even close. He hasn't sat through one
You've
inning.
You've only tried to take him to...
Yeah, because they're both times were so hard. It took three adults to basically try to corral him.
So is this his first of the season?
It will be his first this year. Yeah, but it's supposed to pour rain. I don't know what we're gonna do. The whole thing's a show.
I think I know what you're gonna do. Indoor football. In the rain. In the sunny day. In the sunny day.
In the sunny.
What does that even mean?
The sunny day that never ends.
What a dumb thing to say.
Yeah, I don't know.
In the rain and in the sunny day. What a moron I am. Whatever happens this weekend weather-wise, there will be football played
there
at Capital One Arena. Why don't you bring Bill Rowland to see the game?
It's not a bad suggestion, honestly.
It's a great suggestion.
It's mostly because of my lack
of
interest.
He would get sized.
He might.
He would. I'm telling you, he would also love it.
He might also hate the loud noise. It's unpredictable with him.
Nobody knows him better than I do.
You do know him. You know about how much he likes to dunk cars in water because of you.
I'm just telling you.
Small cars.
He would love it. I'm going to get with my guy. I'm going to get you a couple ticks.
Hold off on that. Just hold off on that real quick before you do it.
Okay.
I'll be out of town. I mean, that's the birthday party the first half of the day.
Your day stinks.
Yeah, it does.
It just does.
Again, that's what I'm telling you.
Should the NBA get rid of the draft lottery? Grant and Danny, 1 o'clock, Chris Russell on the Caps, 1:30, Ryan Zimmerman of the Nats on our Mattress Warehouse hotline here on The Fan.
Hey, guys. Danny Ruye from my friends at Ford. How do you become America's best-selling brand? You got to introduce things. You got to keep pushing the envelope, challenge convention, and the all-new Ford EcoSport does just that. It's going to surprise you with how much you can get in a small SUV. Standard features like rear swing gate, auto start stop, rear view camera, two USB ports, two 12-volt power ports, a roomy interior with 60/40-fold flat rear seats. That's the all-new Ford EcoSport. It's a big upgrade in a small package from Ford, America's best-selling brand. The Ford EcoSport is fun, capable, and nicely equipped and starts at just under $20,000. Visit your local Ford dealer today or shop online at buyfordnow.com. Best-selling based on current year 2017 sales. MSRP $19,995. Destination, delivery fee excluded, plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, dealer processing charge, any electronic filing charge, and any emission testing charge. That's the brand-new Ford EcoSport.
The NBA draft lottery was held last night. The draft order is now in. Phoenix has the number one overall pick. The Suns will be on the board and Well, they'll have a few options. I would think that the number one pick in this year's draft is going to be DeAndre Ayton, right? That's what everyone seems to think.
That's the popular wisdom. Luka Doncic is a foreign player that everybody has hyped up an awful lot. I think Ayton is more of a sure thing. Even in this modern era that we're in, where the center has become obsolete, that kid's just too good.
So if Ayton goes one to Phoenix, Sacramento at two goes outside of the United States, and then Atlanta at number three would have Marvin Bagley fall into their lap,
that
I would
might
guess.
Be the play there, yeah.
I like that for the Hawks. I think he's going to be awesome in the NBA.
His game could not suit the NBA anymore. Just the way the league is trending. He could probably end up playing some five for them. I mean, he's going to be a stud, I think.
The Wizards pick 15th. Yay! That's very exciting. Wonderful selection.
You can get a player there. Now, again, it's all a matter of...
Yeah.
You can. Seriously.
I'm aware of how the draft works, that you can get a player there.
Will they?
The chances of them doing that is not very good.
We'd view a player like Bojan as a pick. Remember, he's gone. He was traded away. There are guys, this is a fairly deep draft in my humble opinion. I like this draft. There are guys that were really productive college players in this draft who may not turn into future stars in the league, but it's why you play the game, because sometimes you get a Donovan Mitchell. You keep chopping wood because sometimes it turns out to be Paul George. You always have to try to get yourself some young assets that blossom into things. But there are some players.
Yeah, and I think at 15, as you said, they should get a pretty key contributor that helps them right away. But the chances of that are probably less than they should be.
Right.
Grunfeld's track record of drafting stars is terrible outside of the top five. He's drafted John Wall and Bradley Beal in terms of all-star appearances. Did Michael Redd, I think, make one all-star appearance?
So he was a second rounder.
He was the only one,
that's the feather in the
drafted.
Cap. Yeah.
That's it. In like 20-plus years of drafts now.
Well, you have to make picks. Sometimes you sell second-round picks for cash. Sometimes you sell them for nothing. Sometimes it could have been Jordan Clarkson who could have helped you. Or Draymond Green, and you passed on picks altogether.
The draft lottery is a good TV event. I like the way it's done. You have the envelopes and the lottery balls, and the people that are standing up there representing the organizations can be cool dignitaries from the teams or mm-hmm. actors or actresses. The whole thing is pretty neat. It's made for TV, and it's cool. I'd get rid of it. I don't like it. I think that this should be not unlike baseball and football and seemingly every other sport, although hockey has a lottery as well. Hockey and basketball most similarly normally resemble each other with the 18 playoff structure and the conferences and whatnot. But I just go back to worst record gets the number one pick. They're trying to prevent tanking. Teams tank anyway. And they should also not be so adamantly against tanking. They should embrace, in my opinion, tanking. It allows teams like Philadelphia to get good faster. It allows organizations that are smart, Houston Astros, and are terrible for a few years as a means to an end to get great again. When you don't tank, if you want to call it that, or as I like to call it, just rebuild, you're just the middle of the pack team for a long time. You're the Denver Nuggets, the Atlanta Hawks, the Washington Wizards. Pick your team. I mean, the Clippers are about to be this kind of club, Charlotte or the Knicks. You've almost got to tank by design to get good again.
And the NBA is unique in so much as one guy, 20% of who's on the court at any given time, and they're going to play 35, 36, 37 minutes in meaningful games. So again, 20% of who's on the court for three quarters of a game has more influence than in any other sport. In the NFL, you can tank all you want for a slightly better draft pick. It's not really going to help you. You still need wholesale changes. You need 10 new guys, 15 new guys, 20 new guys at certain points. Baseball, the same thing. Tank all you want, you still need a huge influx of talent over the span of years. So it's not just losing. In the NBA, it is just losing. Because if you happen to be the front of the line when LeBron James gets picked, your franchise will never be the same in a good way. If you're at the front of the line when Kwame Brown's the number one overall pick, you're Ken Boned. Sorry. That's just how it works.
Remember Ken Bone?
I'll never forget him.
Red sweater.
Let's make sure we remember Ken Bone,
Ken
everybody.
Ken Bone was such a donk.
It was great. What a moment.
He had a great 10 minutes of fame.
What a moment. I keep him alive just thinking about my Washington Wizards and the first pick that we got years
ago. People love Ken Bone.
But the gist of this is the draft lottery was put in place to prevent the thing that's happening more now than it ever has. So why are we doing it? Why go through this exercise, right? And there's so many old heads. There's so many guys that want to scream about the integrity of the game when it comes to gambling and whatever else. Well, and they love getting on their soapbox about every team should win. This is the way the NBA has been forever. And if you want to say that you don't like it because of that, Godspeed. there has always been cannon fodder at the bottom, even when the league was great. You go back to the 80s and 90s when the Dream Team was alive and kicking. That type of era where there were 12 Hall of Famers and a bunch of other guys that were great too, the bottom of those leagues were putrid. They were awful. This right. has always been this way because it is in the 1%, either you have a LeBron, either you have Jordan, or you don't. Either you have David Robinson and Patrick Ewing, or you don't. And if you don't, you're just sort of left wondering when your chance comes. I think I'm with you. The lottery now is so ingrained into the league that they're going to keep it. And I think in the last 4 years, the team with the best chance to win the lottery has won it, whereas that wasn't the case for so many years.
Yeah, at least that happens now. But for a while, that wasn't happening, and I had even more of a reason to argue to just give the bad teams the top picks.
So the point of having it, I think, is now
But what about Dallas?
Gone. Like,
to me, Dallas got screwed last night.
They dropped down a few spots, right?
Yes. That's a team that, by all accounts, was quote-unquote tanking and ended up being at the bottom of the top five.
Yeah, so they were 24-58, same record as Atlanta. So they probably should have had the third or fourth pick, depending, and ended up
They probably should have gotten Bagley, and now you get the fifth pick in the draft.
You
and
get
who
the
knows
leftover.
There.
Yeah. So, again, they may spin it. They may try to trade that pick. I mean, we'll see what happens.
I guess my issue comes back to it's not just the lottery, but the reason we have the lottery. I want the NBA to stop acting like rebuilding is this terrible thing. In other sports, it's acknowledged. We only call it tanking in one sport. You understand that the vernacular in baseball is not tanking. People don't say the Marlins are tanking. They're detonating their roster and they're rebooting, sure. They've done it multiple times and they've won championships and gotten a World mm-hmm. Series because of it multiple times over. But in football, when a team takes it on the chin for a couple of years and goes 2-14, the Browns aren't tanking. They just stink.
They're just bad.
They're building. Ideally, or in the case of Cleveland, they're not because they haven't gotten anything right.
So in the Major League Baseball, this is now a new phenomenon. I think it led to what happened this past offseason, where a bunch of veterans are ticked off. Guys that can hit, for example, that are 33, 34, 35 years old and don't cost that much are without jobs because some team that's rebuilding would rather go with a kid and save, you know, $4 or $5 million and they'll lose a little bit more. Instead of having a veteran help you go 70, get to 75 wins, you're stuck at 71. And that bothered a lot of the Players Association, I think, what happened this past offseason. But it's smart business. You've got to come to the table strong at the next CBA if you want to prevent stuff like this. But to me, the league should I just want people to stop pretending. Stop pretending this is
exactly.
this horrible thing and actually acknowledge, hey, this is smart. And given the way that the league is, especially in the NBA, where one player can change everything, let teams try to get that one player.
Remember, if you're telling me tanking is so terrible and that no team should do it, that you're saying what the Philadelphia 76ers did was wrong or that it was dumb or that it didn't work. It absolutely can work. In fact, I promise you it'll work better more often at a higher percentage than not being bad by design to be good quicker. It is the fastest way mm-hmm. to get good again. That has been proven over time in every single sport. Chris Russell is our Caps insider. He'll join us from Kettler Iceplex, where the team is on the ice for an optional skate. We got to get a Nicholas Backstrom update. Is he on the ice right now or not? You'll find out in 5 minutes. Also, another chance to win $1,000 in the keyword for cash. Top of the hour flash contest, 6 minutes away.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.